Well, if you would please turn in your Bibles here for our message today to the book of Psalms, and let's look at Psalm 46. If it is the Lord's will, we will look at most of the psalm. If not, we will see where time and strength gives us, and we will stop there and take it up next week if necessary. Psalm 46. Let me read the first 11 verses, or the all 11 verses of this psalm. I failed to bring out that we need to be praying, and we did not pray for our brother Ron, who has a procedure taking place later this month also, where they're going to do a probe and go down in. What date is that, brother Ron? May 21st. So we can be praying for Ron that there is something more there, that they will be able, they will find it when they do that probe coming down in through his throat and down at that time. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. And God bless again the reading of his most holy word. Our Father, again, as we look at this passage of Scripture, we come to you and ask for grace. We ask for the presence of thy Holy Spirit in our midst. I ask for the recall of the things that I've meditated upon and thought and that you have brought to mind. And Lord, that those important things that you would give unto me the clarity and liberty to proclaim them to your children, and that it would be as a result that our faith would be strengthened and our confidence in the Lord would be indeed heightened, that we would indeed remember that the Lord of hosts is with us and the God of Jacob is our refuge, that our confidence would be only and solely in him. And so therefore, Father, for your honor and glory, come and meet with us now in Jesus' name. Amen. This psalm has been called Luther's Psalm. And you'll notice the title of our message today in the bulletin is Luther's Psalm and Ours. It's not just Luther's Psalm. He would say, yes, it's all of our psalms. It's the psalm of the Old Testament saints. It's the psalm of the church in his day. And it was our psalm. It is our psalm also. But especially it is called his psalm because this wonderful hymn that we often sing, have sung in our church, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, is founded upon this hymn, this psalm that we see here. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, Luther wrote. Our helper, he amid the floods, of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. And he goes on. And I would bring to your mind a couple things about Mr. Luther. Mr. Luther was the man indeed who took the stand and rediscovered by the grace of God that wonderful doctrine that justification is by faith alone in God's grace, in God, in Christ who died for him. The church, the Rome of Rome, hated that teaching. Oh, they will say, faith, yes, but faith plus works is necessary for a man to be saved. And so Pope Leo X excommunicated Luther. And then later, the Emperor of Rome, Charles V, he had him made declared an outlaw. And so that meant anyone who would kill him would be doing the church and the whole empire a favor. And Frederick the Wise, one who was in control of Saxony in Germany, who cared for Luther, took him and hid him in a castle, the Wartburg Castle. And there in that castle, the enemy could not find him and they could not kill him. And during that time that he was there, he took the whole New Testament in Greek and translated it into the German tongue so that the common people could read it. All of this psalm, indeed, a mighty fortress, this great hymn, is our God, was founded indeed on that time and on what God, how God protected him. And they tried to kill him, but Luther died, did not die a martyr's death. They couldn't lay their hand upon him. Luther would often say to Melanchthon was the one who would work side by side with him. He was the scholar, so to speak. He would say, when things were getting desperate and bad, he'd say, "Melanchthon, let us sing the 46th psalm." You know, they sang these psalms. "Let us sing the 46th psalm and let the devil do his worst." Psalm 46. What a wonderful psalm indeed it is. Will you notice here at the beginning it says concerning this psalm in the heading, "For the chief musician for the sons of Korah." Do you remember reading about the sons of Korah in Numbers chapter 16? These were those individuals, those Levites, who had the privilege of carrying, the responsibilities of carrying the tabernacle were divided amongst the sons of Levi. Some of them carried the curtains. Some of them carried different parts of the tabernacle. But these individuals, the sons of Korah, they carried the pieces of furniture. They carried the Ark of the Covenant. They carried the table of showbread. They carried the altar of incense and the brazen altar. They had the great privilege of doing that, but that was not enough for them. And so they withstood one day Moses and Aaron to the face. And God indeed did a new thing, and he opened up the earth and swallowed Korah, and those who followed him in their rebellion swallowed them alive down into hell. Do you remember that in Numbers 16? Who is singing this hymn? Who is designated to sing this hymn? The sons of Korah. We find in Numbers chapter 26 that nevertheless, the sons of Korah, his children of Korah, were not consumed. God spared them. God in his providence did not, for some reason, had them drawn away that day when that great opening of the earth took place. And their lives were spared by sovereign mercy. And now what are these individuals whose dads were indeed proud and rebelled against Moses and Aaron? What are they doing? They're singing God's praises because sovereign mercy had been given to them. They knew they had been spared judgment. There were many others who went down in that when God opened up the earth, but they had been spared. You and I in this room have every reason to rejoice in our God. We have been spared God's judgment. You say all is because of myself and what I have done. It's God's mercy. It's God's mercy that you know him today. It's all of God's grace that you are a child of God. All the glory goes to you as it did to the sons of Korah. And the greater and the more that one day you acknowledge that, the more you will love your Christ and the more you will love this Bible. All the glory goes to him. We are just like the sons of Korah. We have been spared the judgment of God that we rightfully deserved. Notice here, it speaks about our God in many wonderful ways. And notice the first thing that we see here, God is our refuge. The nations around boasted of their battalions of armies. They boasted indeed of their chariots and their horses, as Sennacherib had. We notice 185,000 men that came up against Israel. And though they boasted of these things, God, he said, who is our refuge? Who is our protector? Not my bank account, Not indeed my status in this world, not my vocation. My confidence is in none of those things. God is our refuge. My wife, there's a verse she often says that would mean a lot to her in Proverbs, I think 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is safe. Isn't that a wonderful truth? The name of the Lord speaks of the excellencies of the Lord, the attributes of the Lord. The name of the Lord, when you see that word, the name of the Lord, think of that. It's speaking not of just of His name Jehovah or Yahweh or the Almighty, but the meaning of that and all His wonderful attributes, His holiness, His omnipotence, His omnipresence, His omniscience, you see, His sovereignty. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it. Not the self-righteous. The self-righteous run away from it. But those who have found their righteousness in Christ, they run into it, and what does He say? They are safe. Yea, worms may destroy their body. Man may be able to kill them, but they cannot touch their eternal soul, for they are safe in Christ. God is our refuge. The word refuge also has the meaning of dwelling place. Moses said this in Psalm 90, God is our dwelling place in all generations. Don't you love it when you've been away on a trip and know you've enjoyed the trip and the vacation? Isn't it wonderful when you walk in the door and you get home? You love being home. Something about home. What's spiritually speaking? Where's your home? My home is in God. The child of God is never homeless. You see, he has the Lord. He always has one he can go to. A home is where you relax, where you rest. One where you feel comfortable. A home is the one, indeed, for God to be our home, it means we feel free to tell Him what's on our heart, to speak to Him, to pour out our heart to Him. If God is our home, then God's house is our home. This one thing have I desired, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. If someone does not enjoy coming to God's house, they do not know what it is to have God as their home. Because if you have God as your home, you want to be amongst His people and under the preaching of His word and to seek Him with all your heart. He's our home. He's our dwelling place. He's our place of safety. Indeed, isn't that wonderful for us to know? So no matter what trial you may be having today, O child of God, flee to your refuge. Your refuge, ultimately, is Christ. And He is your protector. He will watch over you. He's your strength. In the day I cried unto Thee, the psalmist said, Thou answerest me and strengthen me with strength in my soul. Soul. I need to strengthen my soul today to preach. I need to strengthen my body too. But God's my strength. And so I cried out to Him as I'm preaching this psalm. I said, Lord, I need this psalm today. Be my refuge. Be my strength. God is our strength. God can put iron in our soul. Has He not done that for you at times when you have felt so weak and getting ready to face a battle or difficult time? And God has strengthened you in your soul. Listen to what the psalmist said, David, in Psalm 18. By my God, I have run through a troop. By my God, I have leaped over a wall. God strengthened him in his soul. That's the strength. He gives physical strength, but He gives spiritual strength also. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He's my strength. Today, O child of God, if you are weary and heavy laden, go to the strong for strength. I have said it before and I'll say it again. Mr. Spurgeon said, the great preacher, there is nothing within me but perfect weakness. There is nothing in him but perfect strength. So go to him for strength. He is our strength. He is our helper, a very present help in time of need. help. A present help. Well, how near is your trouble? Oh, you say it's near. Your God near. You see, your God is closer to you than your trouble is. Your God can take care of your trouble in a moment, but He is a very present help. It's one thing to be our strength. It's another thing also when He says He will be our help. He personally will come along and alongside of us in those difficult times and pull us out of the horrible pit and the miry clay and deliver us. He is our help, and He's a present help. Remember, He is more present than the danger and the trial that you are facing at this time. He is near. He is near. But this word, very present help, also means He is a well-proved help. Well-proved help. Was He not a well-proved help to Israel? God wants Israel to look back on their history. Look what I've done for you. Look how I brought plagues on the land of Egypt, but you were unscathed in the land of Goshen. Look how I brought you through, indeed, the Red Sea and opened it up. And then that brought in Pharaoh's army and swallowed them up and destroyed them. Look how I protected you there in the wilderness with a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. And that cloud, have you thought of that much? That protected them from the rays of that hot sun in the desert. God watched over them. He was their shield. Even when they read that, they knew what that meant. Watched over them, you see. He was a very well proved help. And when they went into Canaan, He defeated all of their enemies. Let us remember, look back in your own life. Look back at all the deliverances that He has given to you and to me. And then, again, the saying is so true. The root of our present despair is the forgetfulness of God's past mercies. Have you forgotten what God has done for you? Has He changed? He changes not. He's a very present help in time of trouble. And then let's notice here, He is our confidence. Therefore, we will not fear. We will not fear. We will trust, as the psalmist said, and not be afraid. And notice here the intensity here of the things that are going to happen. Though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled. I mean, those are tragedies. Those are calamities. He speaks of volcanoes. He speaks of earthquakes. He speaks of tidal waves. And the children of Israel there were familiar with all of those things. Those would be calamitous to anyone who would face them. And so it would be in an earth, even in a temporal way. But these speak also of what happens to the child of God spiritually in our lives when everything around us is shaking. If the foundations be destroyed, as we read today, what shall the righteous do? Brethren, the foundations are being destroyed in this world, in this nation. The Constitution is no longer believed on in this nation. Sodomy is rampant. Every grievous sexual perversion is rampant in our land. Abortion on demand is still there. You can find it if you want it. You see, we indeed are a nation that is forgetting God. And we have framed mischief by a law. We have men in office who are making laws to indeed promote evil. That's what's happening. The foundations of the government and our educational system are being destroyed. What shall the righteous do? The Lord, He said, is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence. The Lord's throne is in heaven. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. You see, God is on the throne. Let us not give up. God's will is still being done in spite of what we see in these days. You see, fear not, though all these things are taking place. Now recall the passage we read in Isaiah chapter 36. What did we read there in 36 and 37? That's the background, what we believe happened when Isaiah, or when this psalm was penned. The historical setting is when indeed Sennacherib came up against Hezekiah, the king of Israel. And he brought his 185,000 Assyrian soldiers and was set out to destroy him and the nation that day. Remember all those blasphemous things he said about God? And what did Hezekiah do? He went up before the Lord and he laid it out before the Lord. And if you remember what he said, listen to this word in verse 37, verse 20. Now therefore, O Lord our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only. Go to Psalm 46 in verse 10. Look at how close the wording is. Be still and know that thou art God. I will be exalted among the nations. Among the heathen, the nations, I will be exalted in the earth. So similar. We believe this is the historical setting. The earth, in many ways, for Hezekiah, everything was shaking. It looked as if they would be destroyed. It looked as if there was no hope. Lord, you've heard, they have destroyed all the other gods. And that night, God sent one angel, and he destroyed 185,000 Assyrians one night. God's power. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And so we see here, God is our confidence. Oh, listen to these verses of Scripture. What is your confidence today, my friend? By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of them that are far off on the sea. Psalm 118, verse 8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Psalm 118, verse 9, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Proverbs 3:26, for the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Proverbs 14:26, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. Where is your confidence today? Is it in yourself? We are not confident in ourselves to think anything of ourselves. Our confidence, our sufficiency is of the Lord. You see, we are weak, but he is strong. And so we see that our confidence must be in God. And there's another thing that we can be confident of too. In Philippians chapter 1, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And that's for you and I, and that's for us as a church, is it not? This applies to us. Though our foundations at times as a church, we may think are shaking. Things aren't quite going the way we would want. Be still and know that I'm God. You don't know what I'm doing, so to speak, behind the scenes, he's saying. My purposes shall ripen fast, and you will see my hand. And so this is what we see here in these first few verses. Notice he goes on to say, there is a river. The stream thereof shall make glad the city of God. This is another reason I believe this very much so was written during the times of Hezekiah. There was a pool called Gihon that was outside of Jerusalem. And that pool indeed was one that supplied waters to that area. Well, when Hezekiah knew that Sennacherib was coming, he shut up that pool. And made a conduit so that the waters from that pool, that spring, would only go in to the city of Israel, to Jerusalem. You see? And so they drank pure water. All the time, even that man was outside, they were drinking that water. And God says to you and I here that he is going to be our portion in the day of our trouble. There is a river. Don't you love rivers? I love to camp beside rivers. My wife and I, when we're camping, we love to camp beside a river or a body of water. There's something about it. There's life, it seems to be all about it. There is a river. I love that thought. The streams thereof make glad the city of God. He said, do you remember that river of Shalom? Those that came into the city of Jerusalem and broke out into streams and went into the city after Hezekiah stopped it up. You remember that river? He said, you have a river, child of God, that the world doesn't have. It comes straight from the throne of God. It's called a river of grace. It's the river of the gospel. It is the river indeed that indeed flows and brings into you these wondrous doctrines that are found in the Word and shows us Christ. And it's and indeed is filled and comes into us by the Holy Spirit. That's the river. The world doesn't have that river. You attack them. You know, they have the same troubles that you and I have. But they have not the river to sustain them and hold them up in the times of trial that you and I have. There is a river. You see Paul and Silas? Here they are in stocks in Philippi. There they are, their hands and feet are in stocks. They've been beaten, and it's midnight. And what do they begin to do? They begin to sing praises to God. Why? There is a river. The streams thereof make glad the city of God. You can be in the midst of turmoil and trial, and people may wonder at you, but you may know a river and peace in your heart that you can't even explain. Because God's upholding you. They see a joy in your life that you can't even help them to understand. Because you have a river. Praise God, there's a river. The streams thereof make glad the city of God. The city of God especially speaks of the church of God. It speaks of those in the church of God. The people of God. A city, a church that our Savior designed. Our Savior indeed founded it upon His blood. It is indeed one that He is indwelt by His Spirit. It is a city that He has said, I will build my church. That's the city here that He is speaking of. And what He starts, He finishes. He will take care of His city and of His people. But He has. And He says, God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. And when they saw these words, God is in the midst of her, do you know what they thought of? The tabernacle. The tabernacle, the temple that was in the city of Jerusalem that spoke of the dwelling place of God. And there, indeed, the Shekinah glory was over the Ark of the Covenant between the cherubim and over the mercy seat that Shekinah glory did dwell. God was in the midst of her. And God is in our midst, brethren, where two or three are gathered together in my name. There am I in the midst of them. And those of us who know Him as Lord and Savior, He is within us today. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved, and God shall help her. And that right early, or the actual meaning is before the morning dawns. When is it darkest? Right before the light comes in and the morning dawns. And sometimes our trials are such that we feel like it's just going to continue on in darkness. But no, the morning will come. Weeping endures for the night. The joy cometh in the morning. And He will help us. Remember that, O child of God. Remember that in the trials that you're facing now. The trial you may face tonight or tomorrow. The trials that we may face as a church. Do we not see here? We've seen the believer's confidence. We have seen here the believer's portion. He is our river. But we see here the believer's champion. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. Notice also the other names for this God. He says here, the Lord, in verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The Lord of armies. The ones who has everything in His beckon. He can make a donkey talk. He can take a coin out of the mouth of a fish. He can take the stars of the heaven and make them fight for us if He desires that they do so. He can bring all of His angels to our defense if He so desires. The Lord of hosts is with us. And what was Christ's name? Emmanuel. God with us. He is with us. The God of Jacob. God of covenant. God who is faithful. He says to Jacob, "Ye sons of Jacob are not consumed because I change not." Because I change, God has entered into covenant with us. Do you know, O child of God, I brought this to your attention, and I want you to grasp this. God has entered into covenant with you who know Him as Savior. Incline your ear and come unto me. Here and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. And God entered into covenant with us. How could He do it? I can't keep my part of the covenant. But Jesus steps in and says, I will keep it for Him. And He keeps the covenant on our behalf. And God never forsakes His Son and never will forsake His covenant. You see, He's the God of covenant. He's the God of our justification. And if God be for us, my friends, who can be against us? Who can be against us? Notice this champion here. He maketh wars to cease in verse 9. He's done that in your own life, has He not? We were at enmity with God. For 16 years of my life, I was at war with God. Who is the Lord that I should obey Him? That I should submit to Him? That He should govern my life? And then one day, the Spirit of God took my heart by His grace, subdued me willingly unto Himself. I cannot tell you how He does that. He's mysterious in the way He moves. And He brought me to the end of myself, and I came up and took my weapons of rebellion, and I laid them down under His banner, and I embraced Him as my Lord and Savior. And now His banner over me is love. You see? Wow. Wars, He maketh them to cease. He's done that in your heart and in my heart. And one day, He will do it on this earth. He will break the bow. He will destroy the weapons of war. And the Prince of Peace shall bring peace where no politician ever has been able to bring it, though He's promised it. That will come. He's our champion. But He is also this God, and as we conclude, He is our rest. If you would look at me with me at verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I can recall when the Lord took this verse and brought it home to my heart. I had read it before, but it was after an incident that took place that I remembered it even better, and it really came home powerfully. I went up, my brother-in-law and I, he was just a good friend at that time, went to the Camp of the Wilds. Have you ever heard of it? It's in North Carolina. It's a Christian camp for young people. And we went up there, our society went up there, fraternity went up there to, I don't know what it was called, Society of Bob Jones. And we went up there to clean it up and get it ready for the summer when the young people was going to come. So my brother-in-law and I volunteered to go up there for a day on Saturday and clean it up. We worked hard to clean it up that day. And that night, my brother-in-law, Bill, said, Steve, he said, there's a lake here. Let's go out, let's go see the lake. Now, we had been working so hard, we hadn't had a chance to go down and see the lake, and it was getting dark. So down to the lake we went, and we saw the lake, and there was a canoe. And we decided we wanted a canoe. But neither one of us had ever canoed before in our lives. But we got in the canoe. I'm on the front, he's on the back. If you know anything about canoeing, it's a little bit different than a rowboat. And I'm on the front, and we're going out through there. It's dark now. And all of a sudden, there is a noise. I said, man, that sounds like a waterfall. And I take the flashlight and I look up ahead. I'm on the front. There's a hole in the middle of the lake. A hole. How does that hole get in the middle of the lake? Now, many of you maybe know what's already happened. It was a man-made lake. So that was a pipe that came up in the middle of the lake, and the water would go down the pipe and go down below a dam and down a stream. And that night, that hole looked real big. And I only weighed about 135 pounds back then, believe it or not. I was sure we were going to go down that hole. At least I was. And tragedy was going to take place because it was sucking us toward it. And we could not get away. And so I started going this way and that way and this way and that way. And my brother-in-law, I said, Bill, Bill. And Bill said, Steve, he said, shut up and quit paddling. So that's what I did. I just shut my mouth, took my paddle and put it inside the boat, and we just went right over the top of that pipe, over the other side, and on we went. We did find out later rowboats had been sucked on it, and they had to pull them off with ropes. It was that powerful off of suction. And it was later. Now, again, I thought the hole was that big. I got to see it later. It was maybe that big. But that night, it looked bad, okay? It looked real bad. And later, I was reading this verse after that situation. Be still and know that I am God. Steve, shut up. Quit paddling. I thought how many times God, so to speak, wanted to say that to me. Steve, shut up. Quit paddling. You're working against me. You see, the wonderful thing is, I that night rested in the ability of a fallible man. Of course, God was watching over us. But you and I, we rest in the ability of an infallible God. He will never fail us. Let us be still and know that He is God. Our Father in heaven, we thank